Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Joyce Houston. Joyce is a master food preserver with the Humboldt County Del Norte University of California Cooperative Extension Program since 2012. And so am I. I'm a master food preserver as well. So we're going to talk about canning albacore because I think that's the thing that is probably one of the most pressure canned items in Humboldt County.
People love it. And as we have often said, as well as other people that we know who have canned it, once you've had home canned albacore, you aren't going to want to buy a can in the store.
There's no going back.
There is no going back.
What was your first introduction to canning albacore?
It had to be quite a long time ago. As you said that, I wondered, now, did my mom can albacore? No. But it had to be probably in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tradition here. People get together in groups. It's a big social thing.
Yep.
You know, it takes a lot of hands to do it, or it can take a lot of hands, depending on how much you're canning.
Right.
But it's a very social thing to do, and it's a very fun, and then you end up with all these cases of the best albacore you've ever eaten.
Yes. So. Well, you know, my daughters come up every year to can albacore, as well as a number of other things, but it is definitely a laughing time as well as a productive time.
Uh-huh. Now, albacore here in Humboldt County, when we get the albacore here, it's really kind of nice to know that it is lower in mercury than the stuff on the East Coast. The fish that is caught, they're smaller fish, so they haven't had all that time to accumulate a lot of mercury in their systems. Smaller fish, line-caught fish,
That's very
sustainable fish, very delicious fish. and so, you know, I think one of the things people might be concerned about is like, how do I connect with a fisherman to buy my fish? What's your technique for doing that, Joyce?
Well, I ask the other master food preservers, for one thing, if they have a connection with a fisherman. And, you know, after a while, you kind of get connected to some of the fishermen. And if you really like the way their fish are done, then you want to do it again with them. I've also called the Woodley Island Marina. And they can let me know if there are specific fishermen in. Sometimes they even know when they might be in.
And sometimes you're driving down the street in Eureka and you see a sign that says fresh albacore at the docks.
Right.
And
that's
so
right.
That's a really easy way to know.
It's a very easy way to know.
Once you get hooked up with a fisherman, what's really nice for me is my fisherman calls me from sea and says,
that's
coming
great.
In. I'm coming
that's
in.
That's great.
And I have a load of albacore. How much do you think you'll need? And I expect to be there on Saturday. And then from there, we just make the arrangements.
That's terrific.
Yeah. If you go down to the dock, there's somebody selling albacore. You go down, say hello. They're going to explain to you how you go about doing it, how you go about buying it.
Right.
Now, one of the things about buying fish from fishermen is there are regulations about processing food. So you can't just go and buy a, you know, steak.
That's right.
An albacore steak. You have to buy whole fish.
You have to buy a whole fish, and then you have to decide if you want to take that whole fish home or if you would like the fisherman to loin it.
And why would you take it home?
You just want to have that experience.
Okay, once you've had the experience, I think you're done with it.
That's right.
And you ask the fisherman to loin it for you.
Yes.
And there is nothing better than watching the fisherman flying around with that nice sharp knife and making you four perfect loins out of an albacore tuna.
It's an amazing thing to see, really.
It is. And they dispose of that very, what could end up being a very stinky carcass.
Yes, a carcass that wild animals like to dig up time and time again.
Yeah. So they're able to dispose of that, give you some very nice loins. So you want to show up down there with your ice chest.
Absolutely. Yes. They sometimes have boxes, but it's really best if you have your cooler so that you can put that fish right into your cooler, hopefully with some ice packs.
Yeah. And you want to be ready at home when you, even before you go down to pick up the tuna. Things that you need to have to have your jars and your lids, but you're also going to have a pressure canner.
Right. Well, you're also going to have space in your refrigerator to completely or almost completely thaw that fish. It may be a little, you know, somewhat thawed, but at this point, you could really refreeze it if you weren't processing it right away, or you can have it in your refrigerator and let it thaw more completely. It's good to leave it a little bit frozen because it's much easier to cut.
Much easier to cut. And I always like to take out a couple steaks to barbecue. So I always want to barbecue while I'm canning. So,
the same time?
Well, maybe not exactly the same time, but around the same time. And the idea of refreezing, if you refreeze it while it still has those ice crystals in it, you're going to have much higher quality frozen fish in your freezer ready for when you are ready to barbecue. So you've got your fish, you bring it home, you're ready to can. And that pressure canner, let's talk about why that's important.
Well, it's very important because you do not want botulism in your tuna. Any kind of meat, fish, and most vegetables must be pressure canned.
Mm-hmm. They're not acid enough to be water bath canned. You absolutely cannot water bath can them. And that's because the water bath canner cannot get to the same temperature. Under pressure, you can get, water will only boil at 212. But under pressure, you can get it up to 240. And that's really what you need
to
kill.
That's where you need it to be.
Kill those botulism. But it's a pretty straightforward process, I would say.
I think it is difficult to do.
And you cut it up and you put it into your jars, your clean jars. Mm-hmm. You don't need to sterilize the jars, but they just need to be clean. So when you put the tuna in the jar, you want to leave a little bit of space above the tuna and below the lid, and that's called head space.
Correct.
How much head space do you leave?
For tuna, you need 1 inch, and that essentially is from about the shoulder of the jar up.
Okay, up to the lid.
Yeah. And you can measure, take a measure and measure where that inch is on your jar if you are unsure of what the shoulder is.
So then once you've put the fish in there, do you do anything yourself to kind of pack it in there?
Yes, I do.
What do you use?
Well, first of all, I add some seasoning. And then I usually use something non-metal that I can go around the edge and make sure that there aren't a lot of air bubbles and that the tuna packs in there very nicely. Sometimes I've used a chopstick, and that works very well. That's what I do.
So what sort of seasonings do you add? What are your favorite things to add to give it a little flavor?
Well, we kind of do different things each year, but I do add a little bit of salt. Uh-huh. Sometimes we've added bay. We've added dill. We've added some Turkish peppers. Garlic.
I've started adding preserved lemon, just a tiny piece of preserved lemon.
I heard you say that. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
That is something I'm definitely going to remember.
So then the next thing you got to do is really wipe the lid, the rim, before you put the lid on.
Yeah. And albacore is oily. It's an oily fish. So you want, I usually use a paper towel that I've gotten wet. And then you want to make sure that you kind of, use a different side of that paper towel when you're wiping additional jars. But wipe that off good before you put the seal on
top. Yeah, if you get a little bit of slime in there, you can risk not sealing the
jar. Absolutely.
Then you put the jar lids on, the screw tops, and you fingertip tighten them.
Yes.
And I like that term, fingertip tighten. Like, don't get your whole hand on there and crank it on.
No.
Just the tips of your fingers and the strength from the tips of your fingers to tighten the jar.
That's right.
Because you want some of the air to come out.
Yes.
We're partway done with canning this albacore, and I think we're going to need to come back next week to talk about the rest of the steps for canning albacore. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Joyce Houston, Master Food Preserver. Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.